The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, oh, well, oh, well, we had a fourth rollover, and that means there's a huge amount of cash in the machine. And that number is €90,364.27. Now, if you've entered since 5 o'clock last Thursday afternoon, you're still in to win. But do remember the number, which I'll give to you in a moment or two. To enter, text play to 57557 before three this afternoon. As you know, after three, we make that call. If it happens to be to your phone, answer within five rings, tell us the prize amount, and you win the money. The cost is €2.50 plus your standard message rate. It's for over 18s only. You're playing across the Go Loud network of stations. Full terms to be found on newstalk.com. But remember today's total, €90,364.27. Text play to 57557. Now, from Dublin to Donegal to the Eurovision Song Contest, my next guest has had a very successful musical career. He's now turned his hand to writing because he has brought out a new book, which is called Forever, A Rock and Roll Kid. And of course, we have his other half in here every week with the lyrics, the thing, Paul Harrington. But it's Charlie McGettigan I have in front of me today. Charlie, good morning and welcome.
You know, it's good to be here. And talking of Paul Harrington, isn't his box set just wonderful?
Absolutely great.
And there must be 80 or 90 songs on there, and I'm really enjoying them. Just the whole idea of a song broken down to its basics, a piano and a vocal. Who better to do it than Paul?
And you do talk about Paul and Eurovision and how fussy he might be about a piano.
Oh my God. I'll never forget, you're completely in awe when we arrived at the Point Depot, as it was then, the Tree Arena now. And when you see the set for the first time, you think, oh my God, it's just the two of us, two old buggers with beards on this huge stage. And Paul went up and he saw the piano. He went, a bit like Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, bring, can't use that piano. And they had to change the piano for him. And what was even more embarrassing, the man that tuned the piano was a man called George Redmond. And George, I stayed in his house, small world, like I stayed in his house in Ringsend many, many years before that. It was just lovely to meet him again that day as well.
Now, what prompted the book, to write the book? Because it's a big undertaking. Did you say 150,000 words?
Yeah, beginning. It felt like that. What happened was, you know, when the lockdown came and you're sitting there, the music came to a halt. You know, I was writing little songs and putting up little selfies online. And I said, I was bored this morning. I said, what did I do? And why don't I try this book business? And the first thing that I said, where will I start? And I said, the first thing I remember, what's the first piece of music you remember? And it was O'Donnell Aboo, which used to be played, I don't know whether you're old enough to remember this, Pat, but it used to be played before Radio Erin came on in the morning at 7 o'clock. And it'd be played for 3 minutes. It's actually even included in the RTE News logo.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
You can hear
the news
there.
At 1, you can hear the O'Donnell Aboo theme. It used to be on piano, and then they made it electronic at a certain stage.
I think it might have been a Celeste. Now, there's a word for you. It's a kind of a bell-like piano. But anyway, I said,
I also learned that you're a dub.
Exactly. Well, that's what happened. I said, where was I when I was listening to this? And I realised I was in Dublin. And I had been born in Dublin, in Holles Street Hospital. And I was living in 22 Effra Road in Rathmines with my grandmother and my mum. And that, once I started that, it opened up a whole streetscape for me of where we were. Effra Road was, terraced houses all the way up and down.
But you went back to it in later years and it had shrunk.
Well, this happens. You know, I had such a joyous time in Effra Road. For about 3 to 4 years we lived there. And as you say, I went back to just see what it was like, and it had shrunk in size. There were cars parked on both sides. There was two cars in the entire road at the time.
Yeah.
And one was owned by a lovely Jewish family that lived next door, the Greens, Becky, Jaime and Louis. And they used to bring me in their car all over the place. Whenever they were going anywhere, they'd bring me in the car. And I used to get upset because they went to synagogue on a Saturday night and they wouldn't take me to the synagogue. And I didn't know what the synagogue was, but I wanted to go, and I would create murder. But isn't it remarkable how I was two, three years of age, and I can remember that. I remember the horse-drawn milk delivery trucks. You know, HB used to deliver them about 6 in the morning. You'd hear the bottles rattling. These are stupid things, but the bus conductor, I was very impressed with the bus conductor. I remember he had a leather satchel with the change in it, and he had a machine that went click, 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 click,
and roll out a ticket.
And he'd rattle the change to get the money. You know, it was just, all these things I had completely forgotten, but they're very important.
Now, your mother was a very strong-willed woman because she did the unthinkable.
Yeah, well, my mum met my dad in Bundoran on holidays, and they struck up a kind of a relationship. And they must have been writing to one another. Donegal to Dublin is a fair old drive. There wouldn't be any of that kind of thing then. But my poor grandmother went up to her room this particular morning, and everything was gone. And they were just the two of them, you know. She was an only child. Where has she gone? And it turned out she had gone to meet my father in London. And he had left his home to meet her. So it was a scandal, you can imagine.
She knew if she asked permission, it would have been refused.
Well, of course it would. In those days, I mean, this would have been, nowadays, sure. My own daughters and so they all lived together before they got married, blah, blah, blah.
So were they living in sin in London?
Well, I wasn't actually in the room, but I don't know how much sin was being committed. I arrived in the requisite, the correct time. So they were
after the wedding, because they came back and got married. But that kind of characteristic in your mother and father, I mean, as you grow older and more mature, did you recognise that kind of strength of character that they had?
I didn't know anything about it until I started to write the book. And I rang a relation and I said, you know, how did my father and mother get together? And this is what I was told. And I was kind of shocked, gobsmacked. But it affected my mum and it affected my dad in that her mother didn't like my dad and their mother, dad's mother, didn't particularly like my mother. And she felt, in a small town, quite isolated. And you know, had a tough time with depression, which we thought at the time, when people got depression back in the day, they're just lazy, they just don't want to get out of bed, they're too lazy, and we didn't know what
it was. Pull yourself together.
Yeah, pawn, get up out of the bed and stuff like that.
Now, you mention vaginin in the book. Now, that's a trade name that I haven't heard for decades, I'd say.
Yes, it's no longer available.
What was it?
It would have been the salpidine of those days.
Yeah.
And what happened with my mum, I don't know. I took the vaginin for a toothache one time, and you get a nice little high from it. You know,
so it'd be a bit stronger than salpidine.
Definitely, you'd be floating a bit, and you know, she started to take these, but we didn't know until one particular Saturday night. I came back from playing a gig in Bundoran, and my father couldn't wake up. My mother, she had taken too many of them, and we had to call the doctor. She was pumped out and everything else. And it was, what could it be? And the doctors, in those days, you wouldn't get an analysis what were the drugs that were in there. But we opened a wardrobe that she always kept locked. And a deluge of these tubes, or aluminium tubes of empty vaginin and things came out. And this is how we discovered. And right up until her death, she was addicted to
codeine.
To codeine, yeah.
Now, the local pharmacist had been billing the house, but those bills were hidden.
Exactly. And we knew nothing about, well, maybe we should have known, but we didn't. Mm. Because taking the vaginin, my mother was always in good form. You know, she was always, you know, so, you know, you think, oh, she's in great form now. So we didn't know what was doing it, but she was better.
Now, the book is very much a musical book. It's all about your musical adventures, you know, as a folk singer, as a Eurovision winner and all of that. And you've done quite a novel thing. You have QR codes scattered throughout the book. Tell me more.
Well, there are the lyrics of 26 songs in the book. And we were toying with the idea of making a CD of the songs. But I heard Louis de Puer talking on a programme. He's a poet. And he was talking about he had a poetry book out. And he said, if you want to hear me reading the poems, just click the QR code. So I said to my wife, who was in the car, take down that QR code, go back. And then we said, why don't we see, can we do this to the songs? And we did. And all you've got to do is open your phone.
Yeah, I'm just flicking through the pages now. We'll pick a QR code at random, maybe. Let's just see one here. Dun, dun, dun. Teenage Daughter, Words and Music by Charlie McGettigan.
Yes.
I'm taking out my phone. I'm going to point it at the QR code. Now, I hope this works. Okay, and then here we go. I'm going to see, will this play now? Because it's a very good thing. There it is on my phone.
Isn't that brilliant?
Isn't that brilliant?
Technology is a wonderful thing.
Technology is wonderful. And even Rock and Roll Kids is included.
Yeah. Brendan allowed me to put it on. Brendan Graham, he said, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
How did Rock and Roll Kids come about?
It was just, I've known Brendan Graham for many years. We used to meet him at, there were lots and lots of song contests in those days, like the Manor Hamilton Song Contest and the Cavan Song and the Castle Bar, all those. And all the songwriters would meet up at these things. And Brendan seemed to win them all. You know, but I got to know him very well, and we kept up a good relationship, and we wrote a few songs together. We even had a song of ours recorded by Hal Ketchum in Nashville and stuff like that. Incidentally, you remember the week we spent in Nashville way back?
I do indeed.
Anyway, Brendan was involved in that as well, Brendan Graham, and he played me this song, Rock and Roll Kids. You know, Brendan isn't the best of piano players or even a particularly good singer, but he said, would you do a demo of it? And I did, and it was awful, really awful. You know, I was big into Don Williams at the time, and it sounded just like Don Williams would sing it. But a year later, he sent me this one, and it was piano and a vocal. And I said, who's that? He said, it's a fellow called Paul Harrington. Oh, yeah, I think I've heard him on the radio. Yeah. He said, I'm going to put it into the Eurovision. And he put it in, and it didn't qualify. Then he put it in the following year, the same version, and I happened to be on the jury that particular year. Yeah. And I said, you know, they run it very strictly those days. KPMG overlooked everything. Yep. And I had to admit, I said, I know the song, I know the singer, I know the songwriter, I have to really abstain. The song didn't get through. But he put it through. It just shows you how persistent.
Persistent. Absolutely.
You know, and it got through on the third go. And the funny thing, Pat, you might remember, we were doing a song each week on your programme on Saturday.
Kenny Live
on a Saturday night. And I had a very interesting experience during the week. When we did it, we literally met for an hour on the Saturday. We went out and we did our camera rehearsal. And just before us, the Manute Chamber Choir were on. And I love chamber choirs. They're just beautiful. And they were beautiful. And I said, oh God, Paul, we're going to have to follow these ones. And we sang it. And the Manute Chamber Choir stood up and applauded. And you know the interesting thing I found out the other day? During the summer, Catherine Martin, the Minister for Arts, Culture and everything else, she was down in Drumshambo. Her children were taking part in the Joe Mooney Summer School. And she says, I have a connection to you. And I said, what's that? He said, do you remember the night you sang Rock and Roll Kids for the first time on Pat Kenny's programme? Yeah. I was in the chamber choir. Isn't that amazing?
Extraordinary.
Know? Yeah, yeah.
You write about meeting your wife, your childhood sweetheart, really. Yes.
Matter and baby infants.
all that way through.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
time.
It was an illness that she was undergoing that prompted you to get, not to ask her, to get someone to help
yeah,
you
yeah,
to ask her.
Out. I bet you did it too, Pat. Yeah. Would you ask her to ask her? Can I? Yeah. But we were in 15, 16 years of age at the time, and she got contact with meningitis and nearly died. We went out. I remember the first, we went to the Cherry Orchard, the play of the Cherry Orchard in the
Very
Abbey.
Posh.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a dram festival in Ballyshannon every year, and believe it or not, Micheál MacLeamore was one of the adjudicators. And do you know who else was an adjudicator? Charles Mitchell came down. And people couldn't believe when they saw Charles Mitchell that he was in colour, because he was in black and white on the news, you know. And you know, it was just, they were such innocent times. Yeah. But it's funny, when we had our first child, Tara Gray nearly lost her. And with the result that she had to stay in bed a lot during the pregnancy. But one of the neighbours, a very busybody kind of a neighbour, she said, oh, I'll sort you out, don't you worry. And she went down to Mrs. McKenna, who was around the post office, and she said, Granny McGettigan can't get up to the bed, would you have anything that is so... So Mrs. McKenna took a bedpan out from under the thing and she covered it in newspaper. And poor Nancy Ford, as her name, walked up the high street of Drumshambo, and every person she met... It's a bedpan for Gretty McGettigan. So everybody had a picture of Gretty on the bedpan in the bed. Yeah.
Now, Charlie, it's a great book. It's called Forever a Rock and Roll Kid. It's subtitled A Journey Through Music, Song and Stories. And there's much of all of those throughout the book. You're still gigging, I presume, are you?
Only as much as I want to.
Yeah.
Paul and myself actually get together quite a lot. I was talking to him yesterday. And we play a lot of just ones we'd enjoy. Not for the money, just for the pure joy of doing it.
Yeah,
that's typical Paul, of course.
Long may you continue. The book is published by Battlebridge Press, and its author, Charlie McGettigan, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thanks for having me.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Yeah.